Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHER are out to change that. InvestHERCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHERCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHERCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHER, H-E-R, con.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
Quick disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are provided for informational purposes only and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or to make or consider any investment or course of action. For more information, go to bestevershow.com.
I think assessing people's personalities with where you're headed and the goals that you're trying to achieve is one of the most effective things you can do as an entrepreneur and as a business owner.
Welcome to the Best Ever Show, the world's longest running daily commercial real estate podcast. Our hosts interview commercial real estate experts every day to get you the best advice ever with none of the fluffy stuff.
Best ever listeners, welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Slocum Reed, and today we are joined by Liz Faircloth. Liz is joining us from New Hope, Pennsylvania, just outside of Philly. She is a co-founder of InvestHER, which is a community focused on coaching, courses, online and in-person events, mentorship programs, and investment opportunities for women. They also have a podcast. Her current real estate portfolio consists of approximately $150 million in assets under management with a heavy emphasis on multifamily. Liz, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you're currently focused on?
Yeah, so good to be here, Slocum. Thank you for having me and thank you for having me on the show. In terms of what we're focused on now, I day-to-day am really leading, I'm the visionary of InvestHER, the community. So what we are doing is we believe it's a woman's birthright to become financially free. So what we're doing is we're creating the community, both online and offline, so women don't feel alone and can really ask the questions they need to so they can move their investments forward. So really passionate about that. And we're doing a lot to move that forward. We have a big conference coming up and we have meetups across the country, 50 plus meetups. And then we do a lot online as well. We have a Facebook community and a mentorship program. So every day moving the needle to really work at how do we continue to move the needle to help women, give them the resources, the confidence, the support that they need. And not feel like they're doing it alone. From an investor perspective, I used to run DeRosa with my husband, and I don't run DeRosa anymore with him. He has other partners, but I'm involved in the business, but more on a strategic level. Something that I've been doing, both from a personal and a business perspective, is that we're looking to diversify and buy a income-producing, boring company. That's something that's connected to real estate, but not real estate. So I'm actually in the throes of doing some research and getting some calls together with business brokers. So it's something that my husband and I are personally involved in, but is also part of sharing with our communities as well of what our experience is and what we're up to. So we have a quarter three goal of hopefully landing a new business as well, in addition to our real estate portfolio.
Liz, this is not where I thought this conversation was going to go, but I have to spend a couple minutes here. Boring operation company that's real estate affiliated. What kinds of businesses or industries are you looking at? Or have you already identified one?
We haven't identified one. Something I always say to the women in our community is to create your deal criteria list. No one can help you if you are not clear on what you're looking for, very specifically. So I'm taking my own advice, even though I'm not a buyer of business mogul by any means, not yet at least. So I'm taking my own advice. My husband and I put together what our criteria is. We need something that is, when I say boring, something that's predictable, something that's recession proof. So we have more characteristics. And then as we continue on, kind of have our eye on potentially partnering with an operator who has a number of laundromats. That's something that's top of mind. We need to do a little more due diligence about the operator as well as the business. But we've dabbled in that over the years. We've learned a little bit and then we go back to what we know. But I like that business. I like that it's needed if it's in the right market, from what I know. But again, am I someone who has all the stats and has done all the research? No, not yet. But that is something that we're eyeing up a little bit. But I really want to be a learner and someone, while certain areas of our business, like multifamily in certain markets, we have a lot of experience. I love that I'm learning this and we're learning this together and surrounding ourselves with the right people. So talking to the right business broker. We have a business broker call lined up and a franchise company, a broker lined up, just so we can start to explore, is that something we want to do?
That's interesting. Liz, I am best identified as an apartment owner operator based in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I was looking into doing something similar here recently. I sort of started an HVAC business a couple of years ago. By sort of started, I mean that I hired an HVAC technician who had gone to school for HVAC to work for me for my property management company at the time. But my portfolio couldn't keep him busy. We only keep him busy half of the time now, maintaining the equipment within the portfolio. Amazingly useful to have that guy on call, be his boss and tell him where to go, what to do and when to do it on work days, and sometimes outside of business hours, just depending on how cold it is. Amazing for my own investments in my property management business to have him there. The other half of his time, we're doing basically affordable installs for other investors, because that's the highest margin thing that we can do as a quote unquote HVAC business without having to professionalize, specialize, go get a servicer, get into all of the more complicated, nuancey things within that business. But I cannot wait, Liz, until I have a plumber on payroll, because those are all of the true emergencies that come up that can be addressed in the moment. I have trouble thinking of any that are not HVAC or plumbing. But one of the places that my mind went is, instead of trying to hire a plumber, why not buy a plumbing company? I was offered a window and door business here recently that I had to turn down because it was too far away from my focus. 95% of what that company would do would not be in my portfolio. Unlike a plumber who I can keep busy probably half the time and then sell plumbing services the other half of the time. So that's why I asked. A laundromat, it's much closer to commercial real estate investing than a home service business. But I was looking for, I'd still do it if it was low hanging fruit, but I was looking for businesses that would help me improve my core focus, which is the operation of multifamily.
And I think there's a couple of ways to delineate it. You could say, okay, for example, right, we have a lot of assets in Kentucky and North Carolina. You could say, okay, let's look at what's our largest expense and how do we redeploy that? We did that already with property management. So we actually decided to take property management. It was outsourced. We had a third-party company for many years, and we decided to take that in-house. So Justin and our team, actually all property management's in-house. It's actually starting a new business. We didn't buy one. But still, it's like, okay, how do we reduce expenses and control what's happening? For us personally, I think a lot of the women in our community, and I'm sure you see a lot of the folks at Best Ever, they're frustrated by the lack of inventory. And if they are looking at these various multifamily projects, they're overpriced and they're getting frustrated. And that's why I think alternative investing and buying a business, or what are other options that we can deploy our money and our cash so we can get the same returns or similar. And it's another strategy. So it's another arm of what you were just saying. This may not be able to help my current properties, but it's going to help me meet my financial goals. So much that we actually have a panel at our conference coming up in June. Alternative investing. So we have a woman talking about how you stock trading yourself. We have a woman talking about ATMs. We have a woman talking about a few franchises that she bought, including a VA company, just to keep people thinking and women thinking, how do I deploy my cash and diversify, but in a way that's going to work for me? So I'm a big proponent of exploring different ways to meet the same goal.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I started going down home service business rabbit holes for a similar lack of deal flow reason. So that makes a lot of sense. Liz, you called yourself the visionary for InvestHer. And within your work with the DeRosa Group, you are brought in primarily on a strategic level. Assuming that you're using the Geno Wickman visionary integrator type language when you say visionary, within being a visionary, what would you say that your strengths are?
That's a great question. I think I've had many years of trying to figure this out. And I think people that are in this business that are doing well in a certain area need to get not only what your strengths are, but you need to know what your core genius is. And I actually talk a lot about that concept. But I think from a strength perspective, I think I'm creative. I am creative. I'm very strong on the relationship side. I like to start things. Finishing things sometimes, not harder for me, and I do finish things, but starting things and getting things moving, I get a lot of excitement around. And I love inspiring and I love empowering people to do the same for themselves. So if I did that all day, every day, I would feel like I'm being very purposeful. And I am purposeful because I'm so mission oriented and I love what we stand for with Invest Her. But be able to use those strengths and more importantly, my core genius to fulfill that mission for other people is really powerful. And I get obsessed with it. Okay, I just wrote a list today of things I still need to delegate that I shouldn't be doing. So it's a daily, sometimes, focus. It's not just like a one and done.
How big is the Invest Her team?
We have about 5 core team members, if you will. And then we have a variety of different partnerships and vendors, if you will. So all in all, we probably have about 15 people that we work with and deal with on different areas from sales to marketing to our podcast. And then we have 50 plus meetup leaders who are all our volunteers. So we have a really big team in a sense. And then we have a very focused core team. Jess and I founded it together. Quite honestly, out of the pain of just going to events about 6 years ago, and we always felt like we were the only women there. We'd go to conferences, we'd go to networking groups. Her and I were partnered on a handful of deals together. And we would just be frustrated because people were like, oh, are you here with your husband? I'm like, no, I got my husband involved in real estate investing, actually, to be frank. So we just said, if we're feeling like we want a space to really connect with other women in this idea of investing, there's got to be some other women who also want that. And that's really the premise of how we started. And then as we've continued on, there's more and more of a reason in our culture that we need to focus on. Women currently control $10 trillion. In the next 3 to 5 years, women are going to control $30 trillion. So in the investing space, women are not a niche. Women are the investors in the future, more and more. And for a lot of reasons, that wealth transfer is going to be happening, independent of us. But statistically, women are actually not as confident in making the investment decisions in their family, statistically, from a generational perspective. It's actually 29% women are confident in making investment decisions by themselves. And so that's what we're really in the business to shift. So women feel comfortable and confident. So that's really why we exist, in a sense. We want to get that 29% up a lot higher.
Nice. A lot of us just got back from the Best Ever Conference in the last few days. Today's Tuesday. It ended this past Friday. And you certainly would not have been the only women in the room. You would have been in a minority, but there were absolutely women in every single room. I started going to real estate conferences with Best Ever in 2022. And I would have to say, specific to the Best Ever Conference, it has not been a place where women were that small of a minority. Certainly a minority, but not that small. That makes a lot of sense. In fact, I have 8 people I connected with at the conference. 5 of them are people I connected with for the first time. Specific to these 8 people, I want to get them on the podcast. Of the 5 I met for the first time at the podcast this year, 3 of them are women.
That's great. It's awesome. It's good to hear.
And I hope it doesn't have anything to do with gender. It's really more that they have the expertise that I want to expose our listeners to, but also that I want to learn from myself. That's often why I'm asking someone to be on the podcast, is because I want to spend 30 minutes picking their brain and then just give them the opportunity to have that value add for our listeners as well. On a separate subject, Liz, something that you and I have in common and have in common with a lot of our listeners is that being a visionary, personally, speaking for myself, I very much need an integrator. To use that Gino Wickman language, I was the freshman in high school who, dating myself here, on my TI-82, I taught my calculator how to do the quadratic formula, so I didn't have to do it anymore. I just got so sick of it. And I got so sick of having to do it all the time that I just taught the calculator how to do it, and then I didn't have to. I can come up with the idea, but the implementation's got to be somebody else. What advice do you have for Slocum that the Best Ever listeners can also listen in on with regards to the operational next step beyond your vision for companies in general?
I love that question. So a couple of things, right? We're talking about core genius. So visionaries are not all created equal. You go to the book, Rocket Fuel, you take the questionnaire. I think I'm 88 visionary. I think I'm a 40 on integrator or 30, or it's pretty dismal there on the integrator. But once you do that, not all visionaries are the same type of personality. So the right type of operator will vary from visionary to visionary. So to say it's just one type of integrator is nonsense. So here's what I mean by that. And for over a decade, while my husband and I were building our portfolio, I also worked as a management consultant. So I have an incredible expertise in a personality assessment called the Predictive Index. And that's what I did for many years. I taught leaders and teams literally how to put the best performing teams together. That's all I did for over a decade. So I use that same technology now as I'm building my own team, quite honestly, and how to really deploy that. So thinking of visionary as one piece of the puzzle, the other piece of the puzzle is personality. And again, it's not because I'm a visionary, that means I'm this type of personality. That doesn't necessarily mean that. So I think the big thing to do is to really know your personality drivers and also your potential integrator or operator's personality drivers. And here's what you really want to complement. There's a lot of different personality styles you want to complement, but here are the two that are really important, especially on a partnership level. My partner and I, Andres, and I are partners together in InvestHer. We work day to day together. She has a lot of visionary in her. She's also stronger on the integrator than me, hugely stronger than me. So we complement, and we also have a different personality. So number one would be, is somebody more task-focused or people-focused? And I think in a really strong visionary integrator partnership or an actual founder-to-founder partnership, it's really great that one's coming at a task perspective and one comes at it from a people perspective. And that translates very differently. The people person tends to be a little more creative, a little more higher on the relationship side. And the task person tends to be a little more logical and objective and more straight, get to the point. I find that now we also can butt heads, because if you have somebody who's coming from a data perspective and a people perspective, you're naturally going to conflict. That just is what it is. But that energy in driving a business forward is actually one of the best recipes, in my opinion, because you really can weigh out each other's strength to propel the business. And quite honestly, businesses need both. They don't need two people-oriented relationship people. And I always say this, is that when you go to conferences, you like people like yourself. You attract people like yourself from a personality perspective. And that's one of the worst things to do. I meet people, I know they're an extrovert. And I'm like, I don't know if I'd partner with you. We could be friends. We can go out and have a drink together, but I don't know if I'm actually going to partner with you in a business because you're more like me, unless I'm cultivating various strategy there.
Liz, so, are you more task-oriented or people-oriented?
I'm more people-oriented.
Nice.
And the second thing I'd say that you really want to have diversity on, but not be so different on, is how risk and cautious someone is. So visionaries tend to be more risk-takers, tend to be a little more big picture. The integrator, if they're just as big a risk taker, and you see sometimes integrators can be risk takers. That's not always the case. They tend to be a little more cautious. But do you want somebody that's extremely cautious and you're extremely a risk taker? Well, you're going to be oil and water. Again, that's why these personality assessments, along with knowing the visionary integrator verbiage, are actually a great pair together, because you really get a sense of how different or how similar. Dress and I are probably both equally risk-taking, but have some level of cautiousness to our style. We're not extreme risk-takers. We're probably right in the middle. But I'll just say that as two things you really want to see in personality differences. And I don't know if that makes sense or gives you some context, but that helps in addition to the visionary integrator delineation.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
We'll get back to the show. But first, some sponsors I'm confident you'll find value in learning more about. If you're an investor like me, you're probably looking for one platform to manage the banking and finance needs of your entire portfolio. The good news is, there is one. It's called Baselane, and it's the number one banking platform built for independent real estate investors that reduces busy work so you can focus on growing your business. With Baselane, you can earn up to a 4.19% annual percentage yield and 5% cash back on debit card spending with no monthly fees. With a simplified view of your cash flow and expenses, you can retire those tedious spreadsheets. You can also manage unlimited virtual accounts and cards, and even open separate accounts for each property or unit. Join more than 40,000 real estate investors who trust Baselane for their banking, property management, and bookkeeping. Head over to baselane.com/Joe and sign up today for a chance to win a $500 Amazon gift card. That's BASELANE.com/Joe.
Remind me the name of the personality system that we're trained in. Predictive Index. I believe I've heard you speak about that on other podcasts before. I'm a big fan of the DISC personality profile. It was introduced to me in another name, but I'm doing a DISC seminar for my team on Thursday, actually, in a couple of days, because I am in the process of stepping out of the day-to-day operations of the management portfolio. And so I want to make sure that the people that I'm empowering not only understand the work that needs to be done, but understand how to better work with each other. I will be introducing mid-level management to my company for the first time ever. So I want to make sure that my managers are seeing what I'm seeing in a person's potential and what work will be the kind of work that they can thrive in. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Funny, this conversation really hasn't been about commercial real estate investing at all.
I can add something to that if that helps.
Go for it.
Another way to think about the task versus people and the risk versus cautious for everyone listening. Because again, folks listening may not be like, I'm not looking for a partner, but I'm looking for a new commercial broker, or I'm looking for the right VA. Because we're always looking to, we should be as entrepreneurs looking to build our team, but it doesn't mean these are all employees. These could be 1099s. These could be just vendors we work with to help us achieve our goals. So for example, knowing your commercial broker that you're looking to build a relationship with personality, quite honestly, is really important. Because right now, do you want someone who's not aggressive? Absolutely not. You need an aggressive broker right now, especially when better deals are taking a little more energy, taking a little more focus. So I think assessing people's personalities with where you're headed and the goals that you're trying to achieve is one of the most effective things you can do as an entrepreneur and as a business owner. It's often something like, oh, I need to just take someone's personality so I can figure out what their personality drivers are and be nice to them. No, this is about driving towards your goals and achieving your actual big rocks, if you will. That's how I used to always work with the folks I used to consult with. And it's really how I think of, especially as I look at this new business venture. I know exactly what that operator's predictive index should be in working with me and Matt. There's no delineation of that. I'm so confident. I could draw it for you right now. That's how confident I am of who we need to be an operator to work with him and I, because of our personalities. That's big deal when you're looking to buy new businesses or looking at new ventures. So I just want to stress that, because I think people poo-poo personality assessments as fun activity, but it's so much more than that, to really make sure you're partnering and building collaborations and teams with the right people to get you, quite honestly, where you want to go. So I just wanted to mention that as a footnote.
A couple of comments on that, and then we'll transition the episode, Liz. A couple of anecdotes. One of them is, of the Philippines-based virtual assistants who work for me full-time currently, the one I hired first, it was during the first interview, first of two or three. I don't remember exactly what my process was 4 years ago, but it was the first of a few interviews, and somehow, somewhere along the line, I came to the question of, what do you do on the weekends? It wasn't like a scripted, I'm asking everyone what they do on the weekends, but I asked her, and she said that she really enjoys her routine. She actually likes to spend part of the weekend cleaning her apartment. And that was when I decided to hire her, because I desperately needed a bookkeeper. And even if she didn't have that bookkeeping experience yet, I knew that that was the personality of a person that I want doing the data entry on our finances, and I can go get the CPA to train her on bookkeeping. But I need someone else, not me, I need somebody else making sure that my finances are as clean as Lou's apartment on the weekends. So I agree with you, but also thinking about hiring mid-level managers within my own organization and complementing my own strengths. Within the DISC profile, I'm very much an S. And I'm very much a people relationship oriented person. I need in my organization to be complemented by the kinds of people who get excited when they see Gantt charts. Gantt charts give me skin rashes. I don't want to look at them. I want to figure out how it's done, and I want somebody else to do it. Someone in my organization needs to enjoy that stuff, and it needs to not be me. So absolutely, I get where you're coming from, but also it tells me, it's very informative when I've hired people who are going to be on the phone 6 to 8 hours a day. I don't know predictive index or how it compares to DISC and some of the other things, but I know what I'm looking for in a person. I know that they need to be the kind of person who will feel more energized after a 6-hour day on the phone than completely wasted, drained, needing 3 days to recover. It's not just a for fun, sit in a circle and get to know yourself better kind of thing. It's more, in that particular case, the way I'm going to talk about it on Thursday is, what is a person's fuel? And how is it that we can make sure that the work we're assigning to everyone in our team gives them more fuel than it takes away? Because the one who likes to stay at home and clean her apartment all weekend cannot be on the phone 6 hours a day. She would much rather be looking at a computer screen and tracking numbers and making sure that my finances are tidy. Whereas there's another guy who has to be on the phone all day in order to remain engaged because he needs that interpersonal connection. Otherwise, he gets wiped out. So yeah, absolutely. Any last thoughts on this before we transition the episode?
I would just say that then as you build the team, then a culture emerges, meaning you almost have a personality of your culture. So where we are, as we're hiring a leader for a certain area of our growth, whether it's meetup, I want diversity. I want people that are diverse in all different areas, but I certainly want some behavioral diversity, but not in a way that's going to completely erupt the culture. And that's a value as you're growing a business. You don't want everyone to be the same, but that's what ends up happening in a lot of ways. The culture is more of this or that. But then you're like at a point in your business, you're like, we really need some new energy in this department or this area that we're trying to grow. So how do we bring this leader in, but without completely erupting what we've created? And that's the kind of conversation that you need to be having as a business owner, as an entrepreneur. Again, most people don't even think that's an outcome of these types of tools. I'm in the midst of it right now. We're looking to hire someone. She has a little bit of a different style than a lot of the people on our team. But I think it's actually worth it from what she's going to be executing and doing. It's the kind of energy we need and style we need right now in where we want to head. So just a final thought there in terms of culture.
That makes a lot of sense. Liz, I know you've been on this podcast a couple of times before. It's been a while though. Are you ready for the best ever lightning round?
Yes, let's do it.
Awesome. Liz, what is the best ever book that you recently read?
Necessary Endings.
Who's that by?
I know you're going to ask me. Now you're asking me complicated questions.
We can link it in the show notes. What's the book about?
The book, I'll tell you right now, is by Henry Cloud, C-L-O-U-D. But in a nutshell, the book is about people that you're working with, especially for business owners and entrepreneurs. But it's about what does endings of relationships look like, endings personally, professionally, but it has a lot to do with professionally. And what does it mean? And what are signs that you have the right team or you don't have the right team, or how do you really build towards the right team with people coming and going? Because it can be hard, especially for people who are very passionate what they do. And if they're building a team and then a relationship is coming to an end, that could be hard on a lot of leaders, especially when you pour yourself into a lot of people. And it just talks about how you manage that, how you move through that, and how, quite honestly, it's actually a good thing. And that a lot of relationships should be ending because it's getting you to your greater growth of a leader and greater growth as an organization. So it actually kind of creates a piece around endings, if that makes sense, when we often think of them as bad or we shouldn't have them.
It does make sense, yes. And I just downloaded the book on Audible. So thank you for the recommendation. I hadn't heard of that yet. What is your best ever way to give back?
I do a lot with my church. I like to give back, whether it's food drives. My biggest way of giving back right now is honestly finding on a monthly basis a service project or a way that my kids can give back and they can get involved. So I have a goal once a month, we do some sort of active project. They're not just giving money, they're doing something for somebody else. So it changes, but my husband and I have, that was one of our key goals. And
how old are your kids?
But 10 and 7.
10 and 7.
So one of the things that we've done, because we got our start and grew our portfolio significantly in Trenton, New Jersey, which is capital of New Jersey. And we'll go back often, and there's typically on the block, we owned a number of our buildings, trash and this and that. So we just go get a trash bag, and me, my two kids and Matt will just walk around and pick up trash. And my son will be like, well, what are we doing, Mom? He's like, is this something we were told to do? I'm like, no, we're just picking trash up because there's trash on the ground. So it's just showing him and them that you don't need a sanctioned service project to be doing good for people. You see a need and you do it. So I try to look for opportunities on at least a monthly basis to teach my kids that. And I also look for the same.
Liz, different take on this question based on the conversation we've had thus far. In your experience building commercial real estate investing related businesses, I don't want to talk about the properties. I want to talk about the companies that own and operate those properties. In the building of those businesses, including InvestHer, what is the biggest mistake you've made and the best ever lesson that resulted from it?
I think the biggest mistake I've made in multiple businesses is not firing myself quickly enough from focused roles that I had that I shouldn't be doing. Really quick, I grew up as a hardworking family that if you want to get things done, you do them yourself. And I was doing our bookkeeping. I was doing a lot of operations. Talk about a visionary doing integrator stuff. I did that for many years. And it plateaued us, to be honest, when it was me, Matt, and certain people on our team. It plateaued our growth. And then once we really delineated what we should be doing and shouldn't be doing, both me and Matt, in our multifamily business, as well as other businesses, our businesses grew significantly. And this is somebody who actually worked with a personality assessment. It took me a long time. I almost felt like it was a badge of honor to have to do everything yourself. And I wish I got that sooner. I wish I got help sooner. And I wish we had really more effective partnerships sooner. But it was part of our growth and part of our process, I guess. The lesson is I won't make that mistake again as we dive into new businesses. I will not partner or have an operator that we work with where we're buying a business that at all looks like me and Matt in terms of a personality perspective. I can even love this person. I'll be like, no way. I'll be that committed to not making similar mistakes that we made in the past, especially from an operations perspective.
That makes a lot of sense. On that note, Liz, what is your best ever advice?
Best ever advice is to have a weekly time for yourself where you call it thinking time or quiet time or strategic time, but it's really time that you're not in the business. We always are told to work on the business, but not in the business. And the biggest mistake is that people actually don't schedule it and honor the commitment for themselves. Because we all know that this is important stuff to do. But if you polled a bunch of commercial real estate entrepreneurs and business owners, how many of them are actually doing it? So I call it founder time. And I have a weekly commitment for myself that I schedule with myself. And I do founder activities. So what does that look like? That could mean building a new relationship to propel us forward. That could mean really thinking about a new area that we need to dive into and put energy into. So yeah, I think most people do that, but scheduling thinking time or entrepreneur time or just strategic time, call it whatever you want to call it, on a weekly basis has been so helpful. And it really allows you to step away and have this quiet time to yourself to really reflect on what's working and not working, and also put that energy towards something very energy giving and energetic. So I think that's one of the best things I'm doing right now. And I quite honestly wish I did that earlier.
Last question. Where can people get in touch with you?
Sure. We're really active on different social media platforms, but I'd say the best way is our website, very easy, realestateinvesther.com. There you can learn a little more about our conference coming up. We have $100 off for all the best ever listeners, and we're going to be doing some cool things with the best ever community. So it's actually 100 best ever. And if you go to, it's just a coupon code, and you get $100 off for all the women who are considering coming to our conference in June 2nd to 4th. So you can get our conference information on our site. We also have free webinars, free events every month too, would be the other way to engage. Men, women, everyone can come to those. So those are also on our website, free events, and just take an action towards getting connected to the community and the resources that you need to move forward. Be my biggest advice.
Nice. And those links, including the link to the InvestHer conference, are in the show notes. Liz, thank you. Best ever listeners, thank you as well for tuning in. If you've gained value from this episode, please do subscribe to our show. Leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend you know we can add value to through our conversation today. Thank you and have a best ever day.
Thank you so much.
Hi, best ever listeners. Joe Fairless here again. And one last thing before you go, would you like to receive a short weekly email with proven tips from experienced investors, free tools and resources, and a roundup of the week's most relevant news and best ever content? Well, if so, join the community of nearly 15,000 commercial real estate passive and active investors who receive the best ever newsletter. Just go to bestevercre.com/access. And you'll get the very next one. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And as always, thank you for listening and have a best ever day.